Last time on the Eurocentrist.
Tokyo drifting right around fascist Europe, just narrowly avoiding danger.
And 1922, when things with Q were getting serious, Anais wrote in her diary, quote, "Love and labor, that is now the sum of my life. I don't mean that we get completely rid of experience or painful experiences or sorrowful experiences, but that we don't remain fixed and obsessed with just one experience."
Do you know what? I'm starting to warm to her now. I'm starting, like, after the beginning quote, I didn't know what to expect.
Little wonder, then, that Anais started an affair with both of him and his wife June. When I say it's a quote, I say it's a quote.
Yeah.
When Hugh Geiler read her diary one day and confronted her with all the, her love affairs, she managed to convince him that they were only fictions.
Gaslight gatekeep girl boss, Jesus.
She is literally gaslight gatekeeping and girl bossing.
Now for the really saucy part.
What do you mean? That wasn't the really saucy part.
Oh.
In June 1933, Anais met her father, Joaquin, in a hotel in Valescure near Nimes in southern France, a trip she would put down in her diary as the father story. Though he acted, quote, cold and formal at first, Anais found herself dazzled by his intellect and found him to be a, quote, complete synthesis of all her lovers.
No!
She fucking old boyed herself.
According to her diary, he in turn called his 30-year-old daughter the woman of his life and regretted not being able to kiss her the way he wanted to.
No! It's Sigmund Freud! If he had just met this person, would have had the he wouldn't have needed to have put in his years of work. He just needed to have met her for 5 minutes and gone, like, right, this is
just
theory.
I just made Aislinn relapse into alcoholism.
This is Jesus Christ. He would have, like, this is like the most Freudian thing. Like, anyone who's like, no, Sigmund Freud has no basis for what he does.
Was für eine Freud?
They should hear the story of this. Okay, maybe he had some right ideas.
Yeah.
Like, maybe
this is why your heroes.
I was gonna ask, did they ever meet? Because they were alive at the same time.
Yeah.
Weren't they?
Yeah, that's where she met him in Nimes in southern France.
She met Sigmund Freud.
Oh, not Sigmund Freud. The dad.
No, sorry.
No, I don't care. No.
Oh, Sigmund Freud.
Met this woman.
This is where all of his theories came from.
Guys, we have to power through. There's two quotes.
All
right. Continuing.
I need to mentally prepare myself.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Let's do this.
This is so disgusting.
What transpires next is described well in Ruth Charnock's article on the father story. Quote. One page later in the father story, Anais Nin describes how timid and unwilling, yet passionately moved, and with a strange violence, her negligee and lies over her father. My yielding was immense, with my whole being, with only that core of fear, she writes. Leaving her father that first night, Nin feels herself poisoned by this union, with a sense of guilt that weighs down on her joy. I had the man I loved with my mind. I had him in my arms, in my body, Nin muses. Yet because of the similitudes between us, my pleasure was atrophied.
She...
I hated banging my dad.
Oh my god. I think we need another duck fact. I think we need another duck fact.
Yeah. Hit us with another duck.
I know writers who use subtext and they're all cowards.
Duck fact. Did you know
that ducks fuck their parents?
Duck fact. There we go. That was duck.
This has been duck fact.
This has been.
Oh, you were expecting this to make you forget that the subject of our podcast just fucked their dad?
This was the first incest story.
This is the first. I knew
first
there was going to be
how many?
No, because we got awfully close with the Roman guy.
I'm happy
because
that
he banged his brothers who died wife.
No, that does not count as incest. That's an in-law.
Yeah,
it's still gross,
close, yes.
But it's not
That's why I said. That's the closest we've gotten
so far.
Well,
we finally got there.
Woohoo!
Hooray! Look at us.
That's why I said the 13th episode is going to be cursed.
So does she, as she's giving these quotes, does she know at this point that this is her dad?
Oh, yeah.
Of course she does. Why? She said it was her dad. She said she.
Why is she
meeting him and banging him?
No. Why? Why is she reminiscing on this so fondly?
Well, she said she felt fondly. Guilty. My pleasure is atrophied. Is not.
You could not waterboard this information out of me. And yet,
okay,
she is so...
Patreon goal, $500 or more a month, and we will waterboard Aislinn.
I thought you were going to say we will fuck our parents if you give us $500.
No, I'm not part of the waterboard Patreon thing.
Don't waterboard.
You will confess to things you didn't even do.
Well, that's often what happens when you waterboard people.
Or torture in general. Yes, yeah. Quote. This was torture. The following morning, Shirkin Nin senses his daughter's hesitancy about continuing the affair, but wins her over by convincing her that they are living out something tremendous, fantastic, unique. Wow, he is also the worst. World's worst dad.
Yeah.
World's worst dad. My daughter is feeling a bit weird about us fucking yesterday. How about I'm like super cool and chill?
And he knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both aware. They both know.
Yeah.
They're both aware of what's going on. That's why he said, I wish I could kiss her.
I thought this was before.
No, this is the father. This is the father saying this. So, he's like the Donald Trump of that time. Yeah.
My God, he's living all of Donald Trump's dreams.
But the daughter being receptive to
it. Yeah, no, he's living all of Donald Trump's genes. What the fuck? No, okay, I'm sorry. This is
crazy, right?
No, this is not just crazy. This is what happened before he left.
Yeah, I'm curious now. I'm horrified, but curious.
I know for a fact.
Yeah.
There's no other explanation unless this is not the first time this has happened. Because this is what no one would ever knowingly meet their parent. This is not normal.
No, this is really fucked up.
This is extremely
awful.
I thought, though, as you were saying all of this, that they didn't
your brain
know.
Broke.
No, I no, thought that no, this no. was old yeah, boy
no,
shit.
This is deliberate.
I thought they found out afterwards. But no, they... No.
A wereboy. It's a wereboy.
They know. They were completely aware. It's awful.
She... Oh, no.
Oh, Paul.
This is not a girl boss moment.
No, this is... Queen. This is not a gas, no.
We do not stand. Yeah. You're...
This is...
The quote is not finished, by the way, guys.
What?
Yeah.
It's not.
No.
Not finished.
Apparently, she is not finished.
Should we end on a duck fact?
No.
We've already ended those
duck facts because it might get more fucked up. We don't know yet.
I'm just going to say 9 out of 10 ducks don't condone banging your father.
What about that one
all right.
duck?
Throughout the holiday, they continue to sleep with each other, forging what Nin refers to as a pact of similarity through their shared personality traits and past experiences. Nin appears at times deeply flattered by her father's attentions, but also returns on several occasions throughout the story to the fact that she feels a deeper inner holding back when having sex with her father. When the holiday comes to an end, watching her father leave at the station, she describes herself as inert and in a leaden mood, unfocused and bewildered. Yet in her next entry, she describes herself as ensorcelled by her father with a great craving for him.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Ensorced, probably, like sorcerer, like...
Like enchanted.
Yeah, enchanted. Ensorcelled. She's a...
The gender
give her
neutral.
What credit was credit due. This is the very classy way of writing about incest.
Yeah. Right. I think I need to go to therapy listening to this.
Yet in her next entry, she describes herself as ensorcelled by her father with a great craving for him. Looking back on the holiday, Nin writes, "It was in my flights with my father that I had found joy."
It was looking back on a holiday. This is all right.
This I
it was a decent holiday. 2 out of 5 stars.
Would not bang again.
No.
A trip pretty, advisory pretty review. Yeah, I fucked my dad here. It was a really great time.
On the Riviera. Yeah. 5 out of 5
stars. Imagine just seeing that on Yelp. Really bad hotel, but fucked my father here. 5 out of 5 stars.
I'm just like, I'm sorry. I keep having to remind myself that they both know. Because this
it's
doesn't
so aware.
This
it's
doesn't
awful.
Make
yeah.
I can't be like,
oh, it's crazy.
I keep thinking like, what did they not think about how like, oh, he disappeared exactly 15 years away. Yeah. And no, but they're just both aware.
No, mm-hmm. they know.
I have to keep reminding myself. Yep. They're just.
Next quote.
Oh, God.
Fuck.
Next quote.
What is the relationship with.
I mean, he left, so.
But what was the relationship between her mom and him?
Oh, I don't even want to know.
We'll find out later.
Yeah. Quote. Timid, unwilling, frightened, strange, violent, awkward, inert. It is clear that Nin does not feel entirely good about having sex with her father. But neither does she... She's
good.
Writing in the third person about herself now. But neither does she feel
she
entirely bad.
She just had sex
bad.
With her dad. Of course she is. She's getting dissociative identity disorder. How else would you cope?
No. She also describes herself as passionately moved, joyful, amused, touched and amazed by this encounter with her father, which unfolded into an affair that lasted for at least 3 months.
Oh, no, it wasn't just once?
Nin's account.
I mean, touched is definitely right.
Yeah. Bloody hell.
Yeah. Part tribute to the father, part seduction narrative, part confession. This is a story that resists categorization. No, it's... it's incest porn.
Yeah. One specific, very specific category, actually. I'm sorry, Anais, but this is... Oh,
this
my
is
God.
Awful.
Yeah, this is insane.
Absolutely awful.
I'm so...
Thanks for having me on the podcast, guys. It's been really good.
Welcome to Roller Coaster Rides on the Eurocentrist train.
Another comedian is interested in being on the podcast.
Don't
he'll
think
be on
they will
later.
Be at the end.
He was like, Paul better not pick something for me that's porn related. Congratulations, Em. You got the porn. Yay. You got the porn.
Yeah.
I got the daddy issues, the porn, the incest. I got everything.
Yeah.
My episode is filled with lots of twists and turns.
Yes. The degeneracy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely twisted.
Yeah, because that's what we think of when we think of you, Emily. Is we think of degeneracy when you bring up your duck fat.
Our twisted sister.
Our twisted sister.
Breen.
Our twister.
My boy.
All right, decades later, Anais' second husband, Rupert Paul, theorized that
RuPaul?
RuPaul. RuPaul Drag Race.
RuPaul.
It's RuPaul.
Now that is a fucking plot twist. If it was RuPaul.
Second husband, Rupert Paul, theorized that she had slept with her father so she could then abandon him just as he had once abandoned her.
Because how else would you rationalize that?
It should be mentioned that the truth of Anais' affair with her father has been doubted due to the entry's language being too literary and over the top for her real life account. But given that real life accounts of your father becoming your daddy are exceedingly rare by nature, that's neither here nor there, if you ask me.
Also, have you read anything else she's written? She only has one way to write.
Yeah.
She only uses these big words.
Yeah. Again, and also being, clearly, to a degree, also self-traumatizing.
I wouldn't write if I had just, I'm not going to put this audio clip out there. But if I had done what she had done, I would not be I would not be writing in my diary as that was a normal day. Dear diary, today
I had some nice lunch.
Today I undid many years of therapy.
Just to get back at my dad, apparently. Okay.
But
anyway,
you can see the pain of her having slept with her dad.
Oh, hello.
In her eyes.
There she is. Hello.
It's just okay.
Yeah. Anyway,
let's move
Anais
on.
Found out she was pregnant in April 1934. Though open to
she has a husband now. It's not her dad.
Yeah, it's not the dad.
Open to the idea of being a mother, she was unwilling to put pressure on Henry Miller, whom she took for the father, or to upset either her husband or Otto Rank, with whom she had naturally started an affair by then. So she went for an abortion.
Oh, okay.
Failed, and she later suffered a painful miscarriage.
Oh, okay, at least she didn't bring that baby in.
Yeah. Her oblivious husband visited her in hospital, as did Henry and Otto, and her cousin Eduardo, whom she might have been shagging as well.
Do we actually have reason to believe that she might have been fucking her brother?
No,
or is that
cousin,
just a joke?
Cousin.
A cousin still. Do we actually have reason?
In France, that would be legal at that point. So,
but did that happen? Is the
it's
question.
It might. So
at this point, given the other amount, because like I found just you
mentioning
her
track
husband
record.
And then Otto Rank, who she now is having an affair. It's like who it. It's just every time a new male person, or actually, no, anyone is mentioned. It's like 50-50 chance this is a new affair. Like,
yeah.
Hypersexuality is a very common.
Oh, she might be
effect.
A sex addict too. Yeah,
it's a very common trauma response to molestation, which is what makes this very very hard for me to laugh at. Admittedly, this is
sorry that made me laugh. I'm sorry.
No, Paul.
No, I'm sorry. I'm a monster.
Paul,
I'm sorry.
That's a good point.
I'm glad that you can laugh for me because I'm not laughing.
I didn't even think of it that way. Oh, no. Okay. That's a very good point. Yeah. Oh, God. Mm.
I thought everyone was thinking this. That's why I didn't say it.
No.
I wasn't thinking it. Mary, okay.
Oh, wow.
Right, this podcast is about to become...
Woo!
Absolutely.
Now you guys see why I'm so, like, horrified and dejected just, like, sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can experience it.
After recovery, Anaïs decided to try some psychoanalyzing herself and accompanied Otto Rank to New York to work as his assistant. However, she found herself quite unsuited for the job and returned to Paris in 1935. I keep banging the patients. No, I don't know. But that would be like, I'm unsuited for this.
I've banged every old man in this hospital.
I broke three hips already.
You don't have three hips. You only have
in series.
Yes, consecutively.
Oh, I thought you were talking about her own hip.
She broke her own hip. Fucking that. That is now that's dedication.
No, but when you said three, and I was like, huh?
Yeah. No.
other
old man's hips.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. The dedication is definitely noted. But,
all right, and returned to Paris in 1935, where she soon started an affair with Peruvian journalist Gonzalo Moore.
This is going to be a long fucking list.
Yeah, the following year, she published her first novel, The House of Incest.
She's just capitalizing. Hey, guys, step right up to the plate. Yeah. I fucked my father consecutively for 3 months. Come here, extra. Tell all about it. Come here and learn all about the escapades I
come
have.
Come one, come all.
Yeah, me and my dad.
I feel immediately very uncomfortable about making any jokes about
this. She's making a sideshow of her own trauma, which I can imagine.
Maybe this is also a way of her working through it.
That's what I'm thinking. I could see that being a response to what she's been through, but it's also just, how do you no, because this is like, this is some influencer shit.
Yeah, I was about to say, she's like a TikToker who like is going through like a really bad time of it and turns it into content.
No, but I mean, like there's a reason I've been like, she would have loved social media.
Oh, her apology video?
Her apology video.
He pulls out on a ukulele.
Yeah. Date this video even further.
Yeah, I know. Hey, there might be another ukulele in 5 years.
There will absolutely be another ukulele.
World War II being
be
scary.
Apologizing for being on this podcast and for laughing. I'm going to start toxic gossip train. It was Paul and Ashlyn. Also, by the way, I'm sorry because now you're going to get copyright striked by her because she's been copyright striked.
Really?
Yeah. No, yeah.
Do you not know about this?
Oh, no. But
oh,
that
no,
makes sense.
She copyright struck H3.
Yeah, just like you can just bleep it. You can just like when I start singing, I say toxic and then.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but
I think it's only the original audio, right? Covers are fine.
No, I think they also did that to a cover.
I don't know. Okay.
I could be mistaken.
I have no idea. Like,
all right, back to topic.
Okay, topic.
Quote,
time.
World War II being scary and all, Anaïs moved back to New York in early 1940, settling in Greenwich Village, where a whole community of artists lived.
Aww.
Anaïs' own words about her experience with the Empire City. Quote, New York was a tremendous, violent contrast to Paris. Such an impersonal city. I was at first completely uprooted, and then I began to know another New York, the fraternity of artists again. The world that I always depended on was recreated once again. The sculptor Noguchi, Edmund Wilson, the distinguished literary critic and writer Frances Steloff, her Gotham book Mart became a favorite meeting place because it was the only friendly bookshop in New York.
She's just sort of doing everything for the plot, isn't she? I kind of get it. She's living an artist life.
Yeah.
She's absolutely living her life. But oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
What an interesting person.
Crazy. Yes.
I'm very.
Again, this was one of the reasons was.
Yes.
Thank why you. I wanted to pick her.
Thank you, Ben, for yes. all the research.
Yeah, oh, thank you,
that
Ben.
That must have been a tough read.
Thank you.
Yeah. going for that fucking original research.
It's like,
verify if something God. Is incest or not.
That's like the...
Ruining your research history.
Yeah. That's like the people who work for Facebook who like content moderate.
Yeah.
Like we talked about, oh my God, this would be someone's... This would have been, going through all this content would have been Anais's dream job.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. need to pay it's, Ben therapy. Fees
again, he said it was super interesting to him. All right,
he was very interested.
What's what's that box?
Nothing, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
don't worry about it. Nothing in the box,
nothing to see here.
Nothing to see. Let's just put it live on camera. Wait,
you gonna make a problem over here?
Yes, okay. I am a problem.
Unable to find a publisher for her books, Anais founded.
I wonder why.
Anais founded Gemma Press with her lover Gonzalo. The printing press she bought wasn't exactly state of the art, meaning she had to hand set and hand print everything.
Bloody hell, that's dedication.
Starting with her 1942 novel. Winter of Artifice. Like many of her books, illustrated by her cuckolded husband's engravings under the name Ian Hugo. Quote, Winter of Artifice took 8 months to handset.
Jesus Christ.
I forget how many months it took to print. We were printing Ian Hugo's engravings in the William Blake method, which means that each time you print an engraving, you have to wipe the ink off and ink it again. So it is a very slow, medieval, a romantic process, which I really loved. I'm probably the only writer who wept when I got a formal commercial contract with a publisher, because I felt the books wouldn't be as beautiful and stand... And instead of celebrating, I wept.
She's a self-publishing queen.
She's a queen again.
Yeah, well, she didn't stop. She actually just became more royal by fucking her dad.
Yeah. That is true. Like, she
she's achieved blue blood status in the sense that that blood is extremely muddled.
Kid comes out with a gigantic chin. Yeah. Lives in a paper
Some
basket.
Hills have eyes.
Yeah.
Do you want, I can do
the hills have too many eyes.
Do you want me to do a royal fact? I can do a royal fact.
A royal family fact?
If something horrible happens. But we're closing into the end.
We need to save.
We're closing into the end
here. We're in the final stretch.
Yes. Gemma Press.
Wait, the climax of this episode is literally when she climaxed with her dad.
There we go. You can joke about it.
I can't.
See, I've taken
You made it over the finishing line.
I made it over the
roles have now swapped. Yeah. Now that you said what you said, I don't know what to feel about this. And
I've unburdened myself with this, so now I can be like, just like you fucked your dad. Hey.
The apex predator of this podcast is you, apparently.
Daddy issue, recognize daddy issue. My parents are dead, though. Okay, I didn't fuck them. Just for the record.
Never had the chance.
For legal reasons, I'm not touching this with a 5-foot barge pole. Like, I'm
literally not
away.
Touching. Yeah, touching is the bad touch, yeah. Gemma Press went out of business in 1947, ending Anais' love affair with Gonzalo Moore.
this is like last episode where
I knew why it took months to fucking print something. They were just railing each other in the printing room,
absolutely hamming at each
other.
This is like when Bernardo and Juan McKenna would just stop speaking to each other.
Carrera,
forever. They're just like, I'm not speaking to you anymore.
We have civil war going on top of a revolutionary war, but we're not talking.
The business is collapsing, but also I won't fuck you anymore.
Yeah.
You don't even look like my dad anymore. I'm sorry, that's fucked up.
While allegedly having countless love affairs with women and much younger men at the time, Anais also found time for writing pornographic short stories and acting in the experimental short films, the first of which was Ritual in Transfigured Time in 1946, directed by her friend Maya Deren, but found real success only when she started publishing her diary in 1966, as it contained real-life accounts of so many famous artists.
Yeah, she would have... She probably made a killing in the
60s. Mm-hmm. She's like the Edward Snowden of celebrity affairs at this point.
Just doxing everybody.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like... It's like, I will release this list of all the people.
Nice papers.
Yeah, exactly.
No, this reminds me more of the...
The WikiLeaks is my pussy.
No, Paul.
That would be...
No, not funny.
No, it is very funny.
It's very entertaining.
But it's fuck also the but that's the name of a Fall Out Boy song.
Is
WikiLeaks.
It?
No, I'm kidding. But it sounds like a name of a song. WikiLeaks is my pussy. No, but it reminds me of when Lindsay Lohan released like a list of all the like famous people she ever fucked, and like a bunch of people, like Joaquin Phoenix, Heath Ledger, like so many people were on that list. Mm. That's what I'm picturing.
Oh, this
is she's the Lindsay Lohan of
she's
her
the
age.
The Lilo of the 1960s. Whoa. She was also...
Who was the one who released
Literary
the
Lohan.
Literary Lohan. Who released what?
The Candle. Was that... That wasn't...
No, that's Britney. Britney Spears.
The Candle, the one that smells of...
Oh, no, that's Goop. The pussy-smelling candle is Goop.
Yeah, that's Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Okay,
that's not even Goop. Remotely... Yeah.
I don't know anything
That's not her.
About,
that's her company.
Still,
she didn't make the candle.
She promoted it.
Yeah. And it was a terrible product and it exploded.
Did it?
It had manufacturing errors, yeah.
That's so funny that a pussy is exploding.
A candle.
My pussy be popping. So,
yeah, exactly.
Some pervert being like, oh, I really want this candle. It smells
and
like
then it hot wax, just open facial deal.
And just instant karma. Just
yeah. Yeah, good. 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 Okay. Also, it was an overpriced product from a shitty company.
So she
that mistreats its workers.
Yeah, she released her sexual memoirs in 1966. Mm-hmm. Not by herself. She had someone else publish it, or did she self-release? Just self-titled.
I'm guessing because she said that she got a commercial contract with a publisher. This is probably like Penguin.
Penguin Books. The new title. List of people this one person has had sex with.
Goethe works of Goethe and then Anaïs by Reklam.
It's like a supplementary.
Yeah.
That's like finding out the 50 Shades of Grey is Criterion Collection.
Way better written than...
Oh, for sure. I mean, anything is better written than 50 Shades. Like, so many things.
Yeah. Maybe a Stephen King novel, even. Callback. All right.
By a very, very tiny... You know what?
Fight.
The Shining is definitely better than 50 Shades of Grey.
You can see the life going out.
Yeah, I can't deny.
Yeah, that is... True, yeah, exactly. See,
I'm still a hater, though.
Fair enough.
I'm still drinking that hatery.
All right.
So she publishes, self-publishes her,
and then she gets published. Yeah,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, but so her book is out.
Yeah.
Do we know anything about critical reception?
We'll see. Sorry.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Back in 1947, Anaïs fell in love with and soon secretly got married to Rupert Paul, 17 years her junior, and moved with him to California.
Continuing the cycle of abuse.
Well, semi-moved, she still had that other husband dude in New York who quit his job as a banker in 1949.
They're still together. They're still together.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
to become an artsy filmmaker as Ian Hugo. So Anaïs split her time between the American coast and her two husbands.
This is like having a TV show where the first season you introduce a character and they just disappear for like three seasons and then they just magically appear. The husband is still there.
Yeah.
She must have so much dirt on this husband.
She also the juggling act.
And he's
because he knows he has to know.
Yeah, he has to know. Like she's
or they're willfully ignorant. Like they're like, I don't want to see. I don't want to hear. I know she's just gonna fuck around anyways.
Why stay with somebody? Like either he loves her or he did something really bad.
Could also be both. I don't know.
That's just so weird. Because like, why would you stay? I don't know. We don't know enough about the husband.
She seems. She seems. Except for the father fucking, she seems like a really interesting person.
Paul,
very interesting person. Yeah. You know what? Actually, this makes a lot of sense that he wants to keep her around.
How else would you get back in the 40s a freak in the sack? You know, like. You roll the dice with your partners, you know, back then, because you never really, like, got to know them before marriage.
Yeah.
So he's just like, this is the woman that actually sucks my dick really well. Yeah.
I'm not doing better.
I went to 3 whores and they all fucked it up. So, you know.
She's sort of like gender swapped like Lord Byron, but French.
Because
Lord Byron had like a... He was... Well, I'm
he had
surprised
a harem.
He was quite known for being a bit of a...
He was a fuck boy, but like a Casanova was a fuck boy.
You know,
like,
that's... Contessa Byron.
Yeah, like...
Ooh,
Contessa Byron.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's hot. I want
to... It's not bad, right?
I would much rather fuck Contessa.
You want the Netflix rights to that.
Yes. I'm writing it now in my book.
All right.
So she's juggling husbands, California, New York.
Allegedly, California. Hugo was blissfully unaware of his wife's double life, thinking she needed her months in California for a recovery. More likely, he deliberately ignored the truth.
Yeah, like,
recovery,
how can he not have read the books? Like, that's if your wife is publishing, you're a bit of a terrible husband if you haven't read any.
Recovering from how sucky New York is.
You know what? I mean, I don't know. I was just like, recovery from what?
Yeah, I mean, she likes like the more southern Cuba, all that stuff. So
why
California
live in New York at all at this point?
Maybe the job, just money, job, the art scene there. She still loves the people that are there. You know,
she
has probably 1,800 lovers there. You know,
she's never gonna be lacking company. Yeah. That's true. Okay, yeah.
Anaïs had to undergo surgery in 1953 to have her tumor removed, and again in 1966, shortly before the publication of the first volume of her diary. In 1969, the doctors found another tumor in her abdomen that couldn't be surgically removed. In spite of this, the last decade of her life was largely a happy one, finally getting recognized for her work and being invited to hold countless lectures, often with over 1,000 in attendance.
Bloody hell.
Which she much enjoyed. Receiving an honorary doctor's degree in 1973, she starred in a one-hour documentary film about her the following year. Also in 1974, she underwent her final surgery, but the cancer proved unstoppable. She kept phone contact with Ian Hugo, but never saw him again, as Rupert Pohl cared for her in her final bedridden years. She died of cervical cancer on January 14, 1977, shortly before her 74th birthday. The Los Angeles Times named Rupert Pohl as her widower, snubbing the other guy. The New York Times, Hugh Geiler...
Two different names in the newspapers.
This is,
get your facts straight.
This is Hollywood, baby. They know she be fucking.
Oh no.
If you
subscribe to both of them and you read them, you're like, Wait a minute.
This is inconsistent.
There's a Pepe Sylvia style meme.
Exactly.
Where it's like,
oh, perfect.
Carol! Rupert!
That is amazing.
There is no Hugo. There is no Ian, whatever the fuck his name is.
East Coast, West Coast.
Also, isn't he British too, the other guy? The Ian guy?
Well, the banker one.
Yeah,
I thought we established he was American, but brought up in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
So, true. Okay, I'm confusing him with someone else.
Sorry. She had an illustrious life, you know.
She died in 74. Like she had a bloody life.
77. She was 74.
Oh.
And she did not no formal education.
Well, she never finished. Yeah.
And she got a. Honorary doctorate degree.
Yeah.
People are listening.
Pretty awesome, right?
All because she fucked her dad. No, I'm kidding.
You can get a doctor's degree with this one easy trick.
And tell everyone about it and leave no details left untouched. Yeah, if you're just a chronic oversharer, they'll give you a doctorate degree.
Well, God, we're gonna see so many new doctorates now. Like, we're gonna the next few years, it's gonna be like every person.
I mean, think about it. If you're like a test subject, she's kind of a mad scientist in a way. But like,
how?
Well, because she's doing the experiments on herself.
I don't think she
sees them as
experiments, though. I think she sort of. You know, it's like me going to the shops is not an experiment. And to, like, you know, me doing things that I would do anyway is not an experiment.
No, if you're the kind of person that's like really sexually adventurous, a lot of people would be okay, like, oh no, I want to.
Okay,
yeah,
fair
that's
enough.
What I'm talking
okay,
about.
Yeah,
and she uses herself and she writes it down. That's yep, science. It's
and
only
I'm guessing
science if
it
you write
becoming
it down.
Popular in the 60s
yes.
with the sexual liberation
yeah.
thing, this probably added to that.
Where I told
people
you
were
she
like,
would have loved the 60s.
But also where people would be like, look, even 40 years ago, they tried it already.
Yeah.
And society destroyed it. We have to try again. Like,
yeah.
I bet you that also added to that, where
absolutely,
the people found
yeah.
legitimacy of
through
their own.
Her,
yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
That's so. I
super
love
interesting.
This, I love
yeah.
this one.
Super interesting. All right, continuing. We have only a few more sentences. According to her wish, Paul cast her ashes from a helicopter into the Pacific Ocean.
Why'd you do that?
Nice.
Did he like scatter them or did he just throw the jar?
From a cannon, you know.
That's how I want to go.
Those t-shirt guns, you know,
oh,
that they have
no.
at concerts. Who wants a nice?
She's like, no, like, that's nice though. Yeah, she was like, I want to go back to the sea.
Since mm-hmm. since Paul, I was picturing all of that, but Paul was doing that. Since, or RuPaul, either or.
Since Anais' death,
someone's ashes.
Since Anais' death, countless films, including at least one porno oh. based on her diary and short stories, have been released.
Only one,
including
only one.
Including Philip Kaufman's 1990 film Henry and June, Church. From the unexpurgated diaries of Anais Nin, and she was continued to receive recognition for her work.
They should have just called it Declassified.
Last quote
oh.
and end of the story. From Anais Nin. I was born under the sign of Pisces. I am a Pisces.
We know.
Pisces, ruled by Neptune,
typical
the planet
Pisces.
Of illusion, is the sign of the actor. The design of it is two fishes, one going upstream, the other going downstream. And so Pisces is very dual. Whenever I felt I had to choose between, I always ended up by taking them in, harmonizing them, and fusing them into one. I never wanted to choose one against the other.
Hmm.
What a fucking interesting person.
Yeah, one absolute shit show that was. That was when I came in this week, Ashton was like last week was like, hey, would you like to do the podcast?
Yeah.
I think we found a topic that would be great for you. And the topic that was great for me was whatever the last 2 hours of my life just was.
Look,
that
you
was
a good time.
Was,
you call it a,
yeah,
I call
no,
it
no.
a good time.
You're more than welcome to invite me back. But
yeah.
Christ, I was not expecting that.
Like, yes.
Neither the fuck was I. Don't blame this on me. I didn't know.
No, the Eurocentrist.
If I had known just how much daddy issues would be in this podcast.
The maximum amount, literally.
There is no more issue you
the
can
the only thing missing is she murdering him afterwards. Like, that would be the conclusion of that
we don't
daddy
know.
Issue.
We don't
yeah.
know that
oh, yeah,
that didn't
disappeared.
Happen.
Yeah, he went missing.
We just don't know where he's at. No, but that's like a horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's a... But, like, oh, man. This is the first, like, subject we have in the podcast that I think is both entertaining and I actually like them as a person,
mm-hmm.
like respect them as
yeah.
a person,
right?
Because like
my opinion has changed from the first quote. My opinion has changed.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Because I didn't know what I was expecting.
What changed from what to what?
From being pretentious or what?
No,
what was
from unknown to known.
Wow,
very
that,
deep.
That
bro.
Happened to all of us. Just like that.
All right, we're getting.
Sorry, Ashton, I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I really liked Anais Nin.
Mm-hmm. Miss Nin, yeah.
Miss Nin.
Miss, I'm gonna fuck so many dudes that I'm not gonna remember who I fucked.
And women.
And women, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was a bi icon.
Bicon.
Yeah, bicon, yeah.
Bicon.
Y2K queen. We not,
putting the bi in Byron. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Putting
she,
the bi
yeah.
in Byron.
I am just, this is my favorite type of episode where the majority of the quotes
are from her.
Are from her.
Yep.
Where we get some serious insight into.
Well done, Ben.
Yeah,
yeah,
thank
you,
Ben.
You did a bang up job.
A Ben up job.
Yeah, not really.
No, but seriously, yeah, you should.
Well done, Ben. This is
you were not kidding that this was spicy as hell.
Yeah, good that we waited. He edged us with this tap.
He edged us, just like she edged all of those men probably at some point.
The blue balls they had when she left.
Oh, that's what her husband must have been living through the whole time. Yeah. I love that even at the end of all of it, he's not a beneficiary. Yeah. it's her fucking mistress. it's her side piece.
Yeah, yeah.
Same difference. Gender doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah, but still, especially for Anaisenin.
I'm also very sorry to both of you because you're going to have to edit the... I've been keeping an eye on the levels of mine in particular.
Oh, you're peeking.
But also like occasionally I've seen it go suspiciously like small.
Yeah, yeah, because you moved away slowly over time.
Yeah,
you
ask someone with ADHD to sit down for 2 hours and listen.
How do you think I feel? I've been moving around my microphone this entire time.
Oh, so. I haven't because I've been holding the Yamaha piano.
By the way, you can have that.
Huh?
You can have that if you want to.
Aww.
To play around at least with it.
Yay. Emily's got a new toy.
Emily, before we close this up, Emily.
Can I do a noise?
Sure.
That's the same noise we just heard.
I know.
Where can people find you?
Hello. Well, preferably not at my house. Please,
digitally. Where is that? What's your address?
So digitally, Emily Thornhill. So mm-hmm. It's at MET Comedy, EMMYTCOMEDY, in case you didn't know how to spell comedy. And that's, I think, my TikTok and my Instagram. And I do a nice, fun queer show with Ashlyn and another cool comedian.
With me.
With
yes.
Ashlyn. That's yes. My American accent. Do you want to hear my American accent?
Yeah, do you?
I already did. Thank you.
Do you want to hear it again?
Do more.
Will Emily say her American accent on next week's show? Will Paul finally decide to buy 2 cows from the man in the flat downstairs? And will Ashlyn... I don't know. Bye.
Wait, beef... was that a beef callback to the beginning with the cow jokes?
Cow joke.
I forgot.
I made cow jokes.
We made in the first 15 minutes.
You guys made a bunch of cow jokes.
It was
I just sort of sat there.
Yay, cow.
So, anyways, guys.
Thank you for watching.
Thank you for watching.
Bye.
See you in 2 weeks for a new episode.
See you in 2 weeks
with a new fascinating
with the topic
and a new fun guest.
And a new fun guest.
But they will not be as fun because they don't have the keyboard.
I don't want to steal your keyboard. I feel
no. It's been underused. So thank you so much and bye.
Bye.